I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is January 11th, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, from the website of Clarifying Christianity, an essay on science and the Bible. Since the author was shy about giving his name, I will simply refer to him as CC for Clarifying Christianity. He begins, "The Bible is not a science book, yet it is scientifically accurate. We are not aware of any scientific evidence that contradicts the Bible." CC, you people have been made aware of contradictory scientific evidence countless times by a multitude of professional scientists. You simply refuse to accept any facts that contradict your ancient holy scriptures. He wrote statements consistent with paleontology. Dinosaurs are referred to in several Bible books. The book of Job describes two dinosaurs. CC, one of the dinosaurs referred to in Job was a fire-breathing dragon. Perhaps you would be so kind as to indicate which dinosaur you think that might be. He wrote, statements consistent with astronomy. The Bible frequently refers to the great number of stars in the heavens. CC, was there any peasant on earth who could not look up into the night sky and see that for himself? Now he gives two examples. Genesis 22:17. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore. Jeremiah 33:22. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, nor the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the descendants of David, my servant, and the Levites who minister to me. CC, huge problem there. His vaporness was speaking to the Jews. Instead of fulfilling his promise to multiply their descendants, God allowed the Jews to be nearly exterminated from the face of the earth. They are now one of the smallest ethnic groups on the planet, and had Hitler not been stopped, may have gone extinct. So God lied to Abraham about that one. He continues, even today, scientists admit that they do not know how many stars there are. CC, but according to your verse, the Jews should be catching up. Instead, at the rate they're being killed off, there won't be enough of them left to scrub the graffiti off the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem. He wrote, the Bible also says that each star is unique. CC, the Bible also says that all stars were created at the same time. Yet their ages range from babies to 13.4 billion years old. So your fact that each star is unique came back to bite you in the ass, didn't it? He said, the Bible describes the precision of movement in the universe. CC, it sure does. I remember one chapter where it described the movement of a star over Bethlehem that came to a complete stop. CC, science has never been able to find a star that could do that. He continues, the Bible describes the suspension of the earth in space. Job 26:7. He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. CC, that verse is completely nonsensical. You can't draw meaning out of nonsense. I'm sorry, I forgot that drawing meaning out of nonsense is exactly what your religion is all about. He wrote statements consistent with meteorology. The Bible describes the circulation of the atmosphere. Ecclesiastes 1:6. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. CC, and who in the world could not have noticed that? Where do you see divine inspiration in a verse that verifies the existence of wind. He wrote statements consistent with biology. The Book of Leviticus, written prior to 1400 BC, describes the value of blood. In 1616, William Harvey discovered that blood circulation is the key factor in physical life, confirming what the Bible revealed 3,000 years earlier. CC. It also confirmed what everyone who has ever had a sword stuck in them already knew. He continues, the Bible describes biogenesis, the development of living organisms from other living organisms, and the stability of each kind of living organism. Genesis 1, 11 and 12. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And God saw that it was good. Unfortunately, CC, the ancient goat herders who wrote the Bible got that one wrong too. Plants did not evolve until tens of millions of years after animals. Now he quotes Genesis 1:21. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. CC, so good, in fact, that a short time later, he killed almost every living thing on earth, including innocent animals. He wrote, the Bible describes the chemical nature of flesh. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. CC, who do you know that is made of dirt? I don't think that that is the chemical nature of flesh. Now he quotes Genesis 3:19. In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. CC, even God didn't believe in that Jesus crap about eternal life. There are other verses where God made it clear that there is no remembrance of one after the grave. So Father and Son seem to be in a little bit of a pissing contest, doesn't it? He continues, statements consistent with anthropology. We have cave paintings and other evidence that people inhabited caves. The Bible also describes cavemen. Job 30:5-6. They were driven out from among men. They shouted at them as at a thief. They had to live in the clefts of the valleys, in caves of the earth and the rocks. Now CC says, note that these were not ape men, but descendants of those who scattered from Babel. CC, so then what do these cave dwellers have to do with ancient cavemen? He wrote, the Bible describes the recirculation of water. Ecclesiastes 1:7. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. CC, all rivers do not run into the sea, and there is no such thing as the sea being full. Sea level constantly changes over time. How do you know when it's full? CC, that doesn't even make sense. He wrote, the Bible refers to the surprising amount of water that can be held as condensation in clouds. CC, you have to be one of the most desperate ghost worshippers I've ever encountered. In fact, you remind me of equally desperate Muslims who try to claim that their Quran is consistent with science. They take equally vague verses and try to convince people that there is scientific meaning in them. CC continues, hydrothermal vents are described in two books of the Bible written before 1400 BC, more than 3,000 years before their discovery by science. Genesis 7:11. On that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. Job 38:16. Have you entered the springs of the sea? CC, even if you could convince anyone that fountains of the great deep and springs were hydrothermal vents, you would still have to explain what is meant by breaking them up. and you would have to explain how ancient men could have entered them. He continues, statements consistent with geology. The Bible describes the earth's crust, along with a comment on astronomy. Jeremiah 31:37. Thus says the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, says the Lord. Now CC adds, although some scientists claim that they have now measured the size of the universe, it is interesting to note that every human attempt to drill through the earth's crust to the plastic mantle beneath has, thus far, ended in failure. CC, you are obviously ignorant of the fact that the Earth's mantle is exposed in thousands of square miles in the Atlantic Ocean, so it is unnecessary to drill through the crust to reach the mantle. And that verse, like most of your verses, doesn't seem to have any relation to what you are trying to claim it means. You seem amazingly desperate to make connections where none exist. He wrote, the Bible described the shape of the earth centuries before people thought that the earth was spherical. CC, Greek sailors figured that out long before the Bible was written by God's favorite tribe of desert nomads. He writes, this brings up an important historical note related to this topic. Many people are aware of the conflict between Galileo and the Roman Catholic Pope Paul V. After publishing a dialogue on the two principal systems of the world, Galileo was summoned to Rome, where he was forced to renounce his findings. At that time, theologians of the Roman Catholic Church maintained that the earth was the center of the universe, and to assert otherwise was deemed heretical. We could not find any place in the Bible that claims that the earth is flat or that it is the center of the universe. CC, then let me help you out. In Joshua 10:12-13, God commands the sun to stop, and it did for 24 hours. That's why it was considered heresy to claim that the earth was not the center of the universe, and why Galileo nearly lost his life. God did not tell the earth to stop spinning. He told the sun to stop circling. Rationalize it any way you have to. The Bible is clear. It is you who have to do the mental gymnastics necessary to twist the facts. CC, let me help you out with the next one too, Flat Earth. From Daniel 4:10-11. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. CC, that is only possible if the earth is flat. It is an impossibility if the earth is spherical. He continues, history shows that this conflict, which took place at the time of the Inquisition, was part of a power struggle. As a result, scientific and biblical knowledge became casualties, an effect we still feel to this day. CC, biblical knowledge? Like what? He wrote, statements consistent with physics. The Bible suggests the presence of nuclear processes like those we associate with nuclear weaponry. This is certainly not something that could have been explained in 67 AD, using known scientific principles when Peter wrote the following verse. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. CC, how you got nuclear processes out of that demonstrates just how desperate you are to tie your Bible to science. The reason you do so is because science now commands the respect that your religion used to. But all your attempts have failed and only serve to show what a pathetic, desperate little ghost worshiper you really are. Spending your whole life trying to convince rational people that your ancient fairy tales are true. I can't think of a bigger waste of one's life. He continues, the television is a practical device that uses electromagnetic waves, which transmit its video signal. The Bible contains passages that describe something like television, something that allows everyone on earth to see a single event. Note, such passages typically refer to the end of time. It may not be long before all of us learn for sure whether the Bible is true or not. CC, it has already been a long time, 2,000 years. But ghost worshippers will never admit that they've wasted their entire lives on a delusion. In 10,000 years, you people will be making the same threats that the end is near. Hopefully, the world will have reached the point where instead of being taken seriously, you people are given the help you so desperately need. Now he quotes Matthew 24:30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. CC, how utterly sick you have to be to actually desire the brutal end of life on earth and the murdering of countless humans. You people are beyond any definition of sick. Now he quotes Revelation 11, 9 through 11. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. CC, read that a few times, and see why rational people think you ghost worshippers are nuts. To actually look forward to that future requires a sickness of mind usually found only in asylums for the criminally insane. He wrote, things in the Bible that science cannot explain. The purpose of this page is not to explain what a great science text the Bible is. CC, that would be an impossible task. Your Bible thinks a bat is a bird. He wrote, but to show that it is consistent with scientific facts. So CC, you mean a bat is a bird? He wrote, still, the Bible mentions some things that we cannot explain. CC, rational people can't explain how grown-ups could take those ridiculous stories seriously. Then they remember the threat, and that explains it completely. In fact, your use of the threat only proves the point. He wrote, yet if God is really God, he should have the ability to do some things we cannot explain. CC, I would be impressed if God could figure out how to appear to humans like he did before he lost the secret instructions. He wrote, in the last 100 years, and especially in the last 10, scientists discovered many proofs that confirm the Bible's accuracy. CC, name one. And he concludes by saying, since these proofs support the accuracy of the text we can understand scientifically, it makes sense to trust the Bible's text that we cannot yet understand. For example, how many people knew what hydrothermal vents were 30 years ago? CC, your verses only describe hydrothermal vents if you stretch your imagination to the breaking point, which is exactly what you have to do to be a ghost worshiper. And now we move to the science segment. Today, probiotic therapy alleviates autism-like behaviors in mice. Autism spectrum disorder, ASD for short, is diagnosed when individuals exhibit characteristic behaviors that include repetitive actions decreased social interactions, and impaired communication. Curiously, many individuals with ASD also suffer from gastrointestinal issues, such as abdominal cramps and constipation. Using the co-occurrence of brain and gut problems in ASD as their guide, researchers are investigating a potentially transformative new therapy for autism and other neurodevelopmental disorders. The gut microbiota, the community of bacteria that populate the human gastrointestinal tract, previously has been shown to influence social and emotional behavior, but this research is the first to demonstrate that changes in these gut bacteria can influence autism-like behaviors in a mouse model. Traditional research has studied autism as a genetic disorder and a disorder of the brain, but research shows that gut bacteria may contribute to ASD-like symptoms in ways that were previously unappreciated. Gut physiology appears to have effects on what are currently presumed to be brain functions. In humans, having a severe viral infection raises the risk that a pregnant woman will give birth to a child with autism. Researchers reproduced the effect in mice using a viral mimic that triggers an infection-like immune response in the mother and produces the core behavioral symptoms associated with autism in the offspring. Autistic offspring of immune-activated pregnant mice also exhibited gastrointestinal abnormalities. In particular, the gastrointestinal tracts of autistic-like mice were leaky, which means that they allow material to pass through the intestinal wall and into the bloodstream. This characteristic, known as intestinal permeability, has been reported in some autistic individuals. This is the first report of an animal model for autism with comorbid gastrointestinal dysfunction. To see whether these gastrointestinal symptoms actually influence the autism-like behaviors, researchers treated the mice with a bacterium that has been used as an experimental probiotic therapy in animal models of gastrointestinal disorders. The result? The leaky gut was corrected. In addition, observations of the treated mice showed that their behavior had changed. In particular, they were more likely to communicate with other mice, had reduced anxiety, and were less likely to engage in repetitive digging behavior. This suggests that gastrointestinal problems could contribute to particular symptoms in neurodevelopmental disorders. Researchers are now planning a trial to test the probiotic treatment on the behavioral symptoms of human autism within the next year or two. Autism is such a heterogeneous disorder that the ratio between genetic and environmental contributions could be different in each individual. Even if the bacterium ameliorates some of the symptoms associated with autism, researchers admit it is unlikely to be a universal therapy. And now we move to the final segment of the show, Famous Quotes. Today, Barry Goldwater, born 1909, died 1998 at the age of 89. He was a businessman and five-term United States Senator from Arizona, and the Republican Party's nominee for president in the 1964 election. Goldwater is the politician most often credited for sparking the resurgence of the American conservative political movement in the 1960s. He also had a substantial impact on the libertarian movement. Goldwater rejected the legacy of the New Deal. He lost the 1964 presidential election to incumbent Democrat Lyndon Johnson by one of the largest landslides in history, bringing down many Republican candidates as well. Goldwater was much less active as a national leader of conservatives after 1964. His supporters mostly rallied behind Ronald Reagan. By the 1980s, the increasing influence of the Christian right on the Republican Party so conflicted with Goldwater's views that he became a vocal opponent of the religious right on issues such as abortion, gay rights, and the role of religion in public life. A significant accomplishment in his career was the passage of the Goldwater-Nichols Act of 1986, which restructured the higher levels of the Pentagon by increasing the power of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to direct military action. And here is the quote from Barry Goldwater. Today's so-called conservatives don't even know what the word means. They think I've turned liberal because I believe a woman has the right to an abortion. That's a decision that's up to the pregnant woman, not up to the Pope or some do-gooders or the religious right. It's not a conservative issue at all.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.